Welcome to a presentation entitled The Ten Commandments of Dating. I'm not sure there are actually ten commandments, but it's a catchy title, and I have actually formatted this in the version of Ten Commandments. But as an introduction, I just want to state, not that I'm not as familiar with the territory here as I am in New York, where I live now for 20 years, I would say the following. Society at large is fast losing its confidence in the institute of marriage. And it's not without good reason. It's not without a certain justification that the single scene, generally speaking, has good cause for, I don't want to use the word fear, but perhaps hesitation, and being extra cautious in the dating process. There are many variables involved in understanding why that is so. I'm only going to mention briefly just three, and I wouldn't say that they're necessarily the main ones, but I would just mention three. Number one, the divorce rate is obviously much higher than it has been in decades. I remember even growing up myself as a teenager, to hear of divorce in the secular Jewish community was unusual. So today, with the divorce rate as it is, it's not surprising that our single scene should be that much more cautious entering the dating process. Number two, many times I'm not so impressed by my own parents' marriage that when I enter the dating process, I may not have the same confidence that I'm going to make it through. And even though my parents may have held out in their marriage, I might not be so enamored by the way they deal with their differences that I myself may enter with certain hesitation slash fears slash not violence, just it's a sign in English grammar. Then, and in which case, I'm going to, so to speak, be that much more careful in the dating process. And number three, sometimes we see our own peers enter marriage and they themselves are struggling. And not necessarily happy, especially in the first few weeks, months, years, in establishing the relationship, that also can help feed into my own fear and hesitation of entering the marriage process, and that might be a subconscious hesitation. So, in a certain sense, I just want to lay this down as, if you like, a foundation for why there's good reason, understandable, perhaps even justified reasoning, for why it is that we have such a large single scene. I don't know how it is in London, if that really is the case. I know in America we're talking about hundreds and thousands of singles in the Jewish single world that are still struggling in the dating process. So I'm going to end off with one more point. I'm going to enter the Ten Commandments. And that's the following. In most areas where we get more and more practice, we end up being better at that item. In dating, I'm not sure if it really works that way. That the more people we date, we would expect the more clarity we would have, not only just in the dating process, but in what we're looking for in a marriage partner, and yet often that is not necessarily the case. That the more dates we go on, the more confused we are. And that is a little bit concerning, because the question then begs, well, what am I looking for in the dating process? Do I actually know myself with some level of clarity? What is it I'm looking for? Not just in the other person, but what is my purpose in the dating in the first place? And even though we might answer that very simply, well, I want to date to the point that I feel comfortable and confident this is the right person I want to marry and stay married to for the rest of my life, nevertheless, I would say that without a clarity of direction, it's possible for me to have many, many dates with a variety, a full spectrum of different types of people, and yet not necessarily come out with more clarity as to what I'm looking for in a partner and for myself. So let's begin with commandment number one. Thou shalt remember the purpose of dating. What do I mean by that? So I'm going to ask you for your help over here. What are we looking for in the dating process? What is the purpose of dating?
Yeah.
Marriage?
Companionship.
Companionship. Excellent. Any other suggestions? Are those still awake? What else? What are we looking for in the dating process?
Compatibility.
Compatibility.
See if you have the same goals.
similar or same goals?
Love.
Love?
Same values.
Same values. We'll talk about love in much more detail in the next lecture. Same values.
All of these things are just so you can get married.
Okay, all of these are preparation to get married.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's already said it, hasn't it? Covered all those.
Okay, possibly. So in other words, we don't have to add anything more to this list.
That's really what we're looking for, isn't it? Isn't that the answer? Well, we're looking to get married.
Yes, that's what we're definitely talking about in terms of the ultimate goal of this discussion. Now, I'm not sure if there's an equal number of men and women here tonight, so how are you going to... Never mind. So, we're definitely looking for marriage as the ultimate goal, no question about that. And in that process of identifying who it is I want to be married to for the rest of my life, what ingredients are we looking for that will help me say, this is the person I want to be married to? So we've got similar goals, similar values, companionship. Anything else you want to add?
Long-term aspirations.
Long-term aspirations?
Jewish.
Jewish? One fanatic in every audience. Okay. Jewish?
The ability to remain sane.
Sorry?
The ability to remain sane.
Okay, ability to remain sane. It's a difficult question to ask in the dating process, but yes. We want to feel that this is a person that is emotionally strong. Here's where I'm going with this. I think the essential ingredients in what we're looking for are really the same for every person. We're going to talk about this in more detail in the next lecture, which is much more focused on when is love real. Not only in the dating process, perhaps, but more importantly, in any love relationship, whether it's music I love, whether it's culture, art, sports, soccer. Actually, I don't think I'm saying sports, just say soccer. Whether it's a love relationship in marriage itself, loving our children, to try and get a real handle on what is real love, and then understand what the long-term ingredients of love. But essentially, I'm looking for right now, what are we looking for in the dating process that we can identify, this is helping me reach the purpose of dating, which is marriage?
Happiness.
Happiness.
Soulmate.
Soulmate, okay. Here's the list I'm looking for, and everything that you've said is definitely on the list.
Physical attraction.
Excellent. Essentially, we're all craving for the exact same items in relationships. Money. Practical, I agree. You want financial responsibility. If you actually had a choice between marrying someone with a lot of money versus someone who's got strong financial principles which govern their decisions in earning and spending, saving, which would you say is more likely a guarantee for financial stability? A lot of money or making our decisions based on financial responsibility?
Depends how much is a lot of money. mega. Yeah, that's probably the criteria, isn't it?
I don't know the statistics in England. In America, those who win over $100 million...
That'll do.
Yeah. 86% of them have lost most or all their money within 5 years. A gentleman who recently won, he was a parking attendant, won $149 million. Within 2 weeks, he was in court with his wife of 20 years of marriage going through a divorce. So there's a price to be paid when a person's not prepared for extreme wealth. So my question to you, which is a greater guarantee for enjoying one's wealth, maintaining one's wealth? Is it the amount of money I have in my life, or is it how I earn and spend it, save it?
The latter.
It's really the latter. You ask your parents, ask your grandparents, we can get that into that into a separate conversation. But yes, I agree, financial responsibility is probably on the list. What are the items that are essential, that we cannot do without, that we are looking for in the dating process, and therefore, if you like, we're looking for in the spouse that we're hoping to choose, hoping to be married to for the rest of our lives?
They have to be the opposite sex.
That definitely helps. I believe that statistics are on your side. Okay, so we've got Jewish, opposite gender. Okay, those are important. I'm not sure you can take those for granted nowadays. If you had to give a rating of respect on for a 0 to 10, 0 is the least, 10 is the most, what would respect score on your charts for long-term loving relationship?
10.
On a 0 to 10 scale, what would respect score? 10. 10 or more. What would appreciation score on a 0 to 10 scale? 10. What would sensitivity score on a 0 to 10 scale? What would loyalty score? Ladies, help me with this. What would admission of one's mistakes score on a 0 to 10 scale? What would gratitude score on a 0 to 10 scale? What would love score? We have to get a definition for love. What would love score?
11.
Thank you. You break the scale. What would personal health, a person taking care of their health physically, what would that score on a 0 to 10 scale? There are a lot of items we're looking for that are essential in every relationship, every marriage. But the real goal, which I agree is ultimately marriage, the real goal in the dating process is not so much to look for the right ingredients in every potential date as it is to discover who am I in the dating process. I'll repeat myself. Greater than the purpose of finding the right person in the dating process is to learn more about me. I'll explain. We're not in this world to find ourselves. We're in this world to create ourselves. The people that raised us did not shape us. Our educators, our schools did not shape us. They help reveal us to ourselves. Different and difficult people, different and difficult situations don't shape us. They help reveal ourselves to ourselves. So that when you squeeze me, whoever you are, my spouse, my child, my boss, my co-worker, my friends, my mother-in-law, just swallow, sorry. My father, my brother, my sisters, my sibling, whoever it is that I encounter in my life, the people that I date, whoever is not the same as I am, is not similar all the time, is different, and often difficult to get along with, they are not there to hurt me, they are there to squeeze me, in order, that may not be their real intent, but that's what really happens, they're there to help me reveal myself to me. The dating process is more importantly about me learning about myself. Why is that important? Here's where I'm going to go with this, because it's probably the most important point I'm going to make the whole evening. Who I marry is less important than who I am entering the marriage. Because who I marry is much less of what I can control in the marriage process than who I am in that relationship. Who I marry is less important than who I'm becoming in the marriage and who I am in the marriage in terms of what I give to that person and give to myself. How much am I there for them on a level of appreciation, even when I don't always feel appreciated by them? How empathic will I be of their sensitivities, their joys and difficulties? Or will I be disappointed when I see them with their human frailties, weaknesses, inconsistencies? Will I be judgmental or will I be patient? How kind, generous, considerate, thoughtful, loving, appreciative, grateful, respectful, long list! Who I am entering marriage is far more important than who I marry. And here's the real bottom line. You can go to sleep after this if you care to do so. Here's the real bottom line. I'm going to ask for a quick show of hands, if you don't mind. How many people in this room are married or have been married? Okay, so there's a few people in this room. So I'm going to ask you for an honest, you don't have to share, but I'm going to ask you the following question. Is the person you marry the same person you'll stay married to a week, month, year later? I mean, of the same spouse, but I mean, are they the same person? Or do they change?
They change.
Let me ask you, is there anyone in this room, singles included, Is there anyone in this room who would say, I am the same person today as I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago? Is there anyone? Do you expect to be that same person as you are today, 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now? See, my point is the following. Who you marry is not who you stay married to. I don't mean because you go into another marriage. I mean the person you marry is not going to remain the same person you're married to, and you entering the marriage is not going to be the same person 1 year, 2, 5 years down the line. Less important, and I know this probably sounds revolutionary at first, but we're going to go through this with the rest of the commandments, we'll see the uniting theme. Less important than who I marry is who am I entering the marriage. The real purpose of dating is to help me reveal me to me. So that during the dating process, how sensitive am I to differences? How kind am I to the differences? And how generous, considerate, loving, appreciative, grateful am I of the virtues, qualities that I do notice in the other person I'm dating with? Essentially, every person, whether they like it or not, is really a salesperson. We are all selling ourselves. By default. All the time. If you're a parent, in that role, you're selling yourself to your child. And the extent to which you, so to speak, succeed in selling yourself with your values, yourself with all your sensitivities, your outlook on life, on how to deal with people, on how to get along with immediate family, extended family, how to get along with a not always easy father-in-law, mother-in-law, in front of your children, who you are is who you're selling to your child in terms of the role model of how to get along with people in life. And the extent to which I'm successful will largely be hanging on one simple point, value. What does that mean? The extent to which I'm valuable to my child, valuable in this state, valuable in this marriage. The extent to which I'm valuable for the company I work for, it's the same exact formula in any relationship. The more valuable I am, and we'll define that in a few moments, the stronger the chances are that this relationship will work for long term. What do I mean by that? A company is downsizing. Who are the first ones to go?
Unimportant people.
People who are unimportant. What's the definition of unimportant in any company?
Replaceable.
In that sense, the least valuable. The more value you bring to your company, the less chance you have, obviously, of being downsized. The more value you bring in terms of your resources, your talents, your database of information of different departments of the company, the more valuable you are in any relationship, the stronger is the chance that that relationship will have a longer lasting effect. The more valuable I am as a parent to help my child become independent, to teach trust, to teach self-esteem to my child, the more valuable I am in the parenting process, the more I have sold myself to my child so that in the long term, even as a teenager, believe it or not, my kid might still come to me and talk to me and ask me questions and seek guidance because in the earlier years, there was an investment of trust, of confidence, of believing in this child's ability to process information and come to a decision themselves. And in helping them learn that process, we as parents become more valuable. Am I making this clear? In the dating process, here's what's most important. And this brings us to commandment number 2. Thou shalt learn one new lesson about thyself from each date. More important than me gathering information about you in the dating process is me learning about me. What do I mean by that? If I keep a simple journal of one line messages per date for me to review. Now some people go on a lot of dates. Some people have been on hundreds, some people even been on thousands of dates, literally. More important than who I meet during the date is what did I learn about myself? And what do I mean by that?
Are you suggesting taking notes on the date?
No. No. I used to work for Saatchi & Saatchi. They were the biggest advertisers in the world. So it was very interesting that there are a few formulas that they kind of legislated that have become the norm in good advertising. And they are so powerful that it teaches a person the distinction, the difference between manipulation and honest interest and honest selling of value. There's a company, I don't know if you have it in England, there's a company in American Canada called SlimFast. Are you familiar with that? So, believe it or not, even though my background as a rabbi is much more in yeshiva, my background in advertising, working with my father, who was the best in the world in the film business, the film industry, in dubbing, that was revoicing movies and commercials. He did all the old Bond films. Some of you remember Sean Connery and Roger Moore? So all the Bond films, he was the director of all the voiceovers. I'm not saying that to impress you, just to share with you that when I worked in advertising, just a few weeks ago I was in Toronto, I was speaking to the marketing company of SlimFast, because one of the two partners, Danny Abraham and his partner, his brother, Jerry, had heard me speaking in Florida a few months ago about advertising in the context of Jewish education. And they asked me to come speak to their own marketing company about my experiences in advertising to help them identify what they're really looking for in the sale value of their product to their customer. So here's what I want to share with you in this area. Once I identify what my value is in the dating process, the sale is much easier. And I'm not talking about manipulation here. There's a big difference between selling true value and selling perceived value. True value is what is accurate and honest about the value of that product. In this case, we're talking about ourselves. We are that product, so to speak. Forgive me for using this analogy, but I think it's a very apropos one. The difference in the manipulation that exists in advertising, which I might touch upon either later in this presentation or certainly in the love presentation, the manipulation there is to sell perceived value, not necessarily true value. And that's where the customer, the consumer, is easily taken for a ride. And in this analogy that I'm offering now, if I sell perceived value to my date, then the person I'm selling in the real marriage is not the real person. And they're going to be fooled. And I may be fooling myself too. What we're talking about here in Thou Shalt Learn Something New About Oneself from Every Single Date means to expect to notice a different level of sensitivity that I am employing in the dating process, a different level of listening. How important is listening? Ladies, help us with this. How important is listening on a 0 to 10 scale? What would it score? Gentlemen, don't fall asleep on this one. What number would you score?
Two.
That's why I'm asking the ladies. What will it score? What will listening score on a 0 to 10 scale in a marriage, in a relationship? 10. Is there anyone who wants to say less than that?
You have to hear the perception of
it. Then we're in deep trouble. Chaim and Becky, we're in the kitchen, and Chaim wanted to prove to his wife that she really was hard of hearing. And so from the end of the kitchen, he calls out to her, "Becky!" No answer. So he walks 10 steps closer, "Becky!" No answer. He goes right up behind her, says, "Becky!" And she turns around, "Kai, for the third time, what do you want?" Perceived listening is not real. We want to be real listeners. What does real listening mean? Help me. What does real listening really mean? Interest for the sake of wanting to
understand.
Whether you're sharing something that's joyful to you or something that's a challenge to you in a difficult way, real listening means I desire to honestly understand. Not about manipulation, not so that, because then it's, I'm not interested in you, I'm interested in you being interested in me. That's not real interest. Every date, I should be looking at myself in terms of, am I becoming more valuable as a listener? Am I honestly fascinated by the other person's interests? I don't have to agree to your interests, But am I honestly interested in what you're interested in just for the fact that it gives me pleasure to see another person describe what they're passionate about? Is this making sense? You follow the point? The more honest I am in listening, in taking an honest interest, being fascinated by what you enjoy the most, emotionally honest, feeling uninhibited to be honest with myself, not about everything about myself, but gradually to be more emotionally honest about myself, so that the relationship becomes one that's safe. Safe means you feel comfortable to share your real self with me. I feel honestly comfortable to share my real self with you. So that barriers start to fall away, and the more honest we are about each other, the pluses and the minuses, the more real the relationship will be, even in the dating process. Dating is more about me discovering myself. Am I becoming a better me so that I'm increasing the value, not just for the marriage itself, but for who I'm becoming, for a person, for a father, for a mother, for a spouse, in the workplace. Who am I becoming? The purpose of dating is for me to become a better me. One of the ways to do this is the power of questions. What is the power of